All right, you guys are on the record for After Talk.
Oh my gosh, Tom, I'm so upset. I try to be civilized. I try to not let my rage come out, but it's like, what else is there to do with this internet thing? I can't even.
It is infuriating when you pay for a thing and it doesn't work, and it's the thing you need to do your work.
I have two full internet accounts with Spectrum, two totally separate accounts, and we are now going on a month of talking through this and getting empty promises and everything. I don't know, and it's like clockwork. Like every 120 minutes, it just craps the bed.
Well, just switch to a different ISP.
I mean, at this point, I'm spending so much money. I think I'll just call AT&T and say, what's a box that goes to that LTE tower? And I don't care how much it costs.
Yeah, AT&T doesn't have, or Verizon, do they, neither one have any 5G out there yet? I imagine they might not.
Not 5G, but it, I mean, I've got, it's an LTE tower.
You've got, and
it's
5G-E.
Fake 5G.
No, that's LTE, that's 4G. Yeah, that's fake 5G. Yeah.
But you do get
good
connection on
it. It's fast, though. It's LTE advanced.
Yeah, here, I'll run it right now.
But yeah, I mean, same story, different week. Am I right?
Yeah. It's just tough because, like, you have to do everything in series. You know, I can't jump to the end. We all know that it's going to be a bunch of empty promises again. But I have to call them. You know, I'm starting a new skill tree under business class, and I have to call. So I just got 200 megabits down LTE, and it's jittering between 25 and 35 up, landing around 35 on my phone.
I got a little bit of a Quibi Quup date.
Yes. Oh, we didn't talk about Quibi enough.
Oh no, I think we talked about it. I had three Quibis today and got a chance to finally see the episodes that they put up, or sorry, the Quibis of Reno 911 that
was
they've got
good?
On the service.
No, don't say it's the one thing that I thought would be good.
The thing about watching Reno 911 on Quibi in 2020, before you watch it on Quibi, you're like, aren't there so many great moments in Reno 911? The new boot scooting and all the stealing the bikes and TT and all of the different characters. Aren't they great? Nick Swardson as the prostitute guy on roller skates. There are a lot of great moments in Reno 911.
Sure.
And then you get back into it and you realize, oh, the last couple of seasons of Reno 911 kind of stinkers. They kind of lose a lot of talent and... They don't quite have the same chemistry, and the Quibi Reno 911 is a continuation of that. It feels like.
So, was there any good moments or?
There are some good skits. The other trouble is the format. I always say the format is just not any good on Quibi, and so you have to do only, you know, less than 10 minutes of a show at a time. So that means each Quibi is only like maybe 2 to 4 segments, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, it feels like it would be the natural time from one commercial break to another, no?
Yeah, but over a 22-minute episode, sure. You're able to have, you know, an A, B, and C plot that go continue, but everything has right. to be self-contained in a Quibi? Or?
Well, in the first episode, they definitely set up a storyline like that. They introduce a new character who... Well, I think you see a little bit in the three episodes that come up. So you can kind of feel where they maybe chopped up an episode over however many quick bites.
Mm-hmm.
But you just said
quick bites.
What's really weird that I didn't expect is watching it in high definition almost takes something away. There was, I think, I don't know if it's maybe just the years have not been great on some of the talent, or just the clarity is super weird. But you kind of lose
the frames per second upscaling or whatever.
No, I just mean resolution.
But I mean, is it the same effect where it starts to feel like you start to see, you know,
kinda
too clearly?
Kinda. You know, there's one segment that they do about they're responding to this kidnapping, this hostage situation at a bank. And they're doing their goofs, and it's actually kind of good. And then this huge, like, militarized truck rolls up, and all these guys come out with the Jewish sideburns come out, and they are like a volunteer militarization organization that protects the community, but only for the Jewish community. Like some weird stuff, and they do this weird effect of like a bomb going off or some sort of flashbang going off, and there's a blue fire that comes out the door, and you're looking at it like, that looks so fake. That doesn't look any good. I don't know. I think I set Quibi to follow it.
I was waiting for the twist where it's like, turns out it was a practical effect or something.
No, it was just a very real digital effect that is not very good. It was some weird stuff. I don't know. I think it's, if you're Quibi curious, I think, you know, now's a time to try it out.
QC.
If you're QC, yeah.
I mean, if you're really QC, you should go to YT, where the episodes are FREE.
That's right. Well, so only some of the stuff. Yeah. Only three of them. Yeah.
That's all you'll want. It's sort of like I listened to the Sam Harris podcast, Making Sense, and then he announced, like, it was a big deal. He was like, hey, new rule, these two-hour episodes, half of them are going to be behind a paywall. They're only for members. We're not even going to be coy about it. We're just going to fade out and to listen to the whole thing. Turns out I only want to listen to the first half of all these shows.
Yeah. And then I finished The Most Dangerous Game. Whew.
Yeah. Did the good guy kill all the bad guys?
Most of them, he survives. He makes.
Did you get your Hemsworth out of it?
Kind of. I had a very weird feeling watching it, where I was like, okay, cool. Hey, the guy won and he survived, and for some reason the people he blew up didn't die, but they let him live anyway. And then I realized, like, oh, he's just going to use that money to be a real estate guy. he's got the building.
Spoiler.
Yeah. But it's a weird thing. You're like, oh, I was rooting for a landlord the whole time. What are we doing?
That's amazing.
And of course they don't do the thing where he shuts down the club, because how could you do a second season if you don't have Christoph Waltz?
I mean, you could make it an underground, you know, like one person.
I've been doing this for 220 years. I will not be the one to suspend the game. I'm Christoph Waltz / Bernie Sanders.
Wow. Wait, is that still Bryce talking? I wasn't looking at the Skype.
Click. Turn off my recording. So that's your Quibi Quipdate.
Quipdate. I did some digging. During the hiatus between season 3 and 4 of Larry Sanders' Show, Gary Shandling and Laura Doucette break up.
Linda, yeah.
Linda Doucette break up. And she says that they made her sign a thing saying she wouldn't try to get half his property or anything, and wow, then fired her.
Whew. I guess,
did she sue or?
She sued for wrongful termination.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I wonder if they just write her off or kill her off or something. I don't know. We watched Westworld and what was the finale last week? Better Call Saul. Westworld especially. I mean, that show has a very loose grasp on death and the death of character. But it was definitely interesting seeing which characters died and then thinking like, who are they going to pay to come back?
Yeah.
Who's going to come back next time? Actually. Man, Westworld. You guys watching anything else fun?
Yeah, I talked about the movies I was watching with the kids. Sure. I continue to sneak in a Knight Rider here and again. they do not hold up.
Oh, you know what? I've been watching Deep Space Nine again. Mm-hmm. Partly because Heaton had me on and we talked about Deep Space Nine. I've been rewatching it slowly for years, but I think I've been watching it a little more because of that. And who do you think plays Cassidy Yates, the Ben Sisko love interest that appears near the end of season 3?
I give up.
The same person who plays Beverly on Larry Sanders' Show.
Whoa. Oh, wow. Is she good?
She's great, but yeah, she's also kind of like Beverly, because it's a tough, no-nonsense captain of a freighter on Deep Space Nine
instead of
a tough, no-nonsense producer of a TV show.
Oh, we didn't talk about the appearance of that. That was Zoe from Firefly on Westworld, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. Gina Torres.
Yeah.
Which I was like, well, why did they get her to play that and have to put her in the makeup? But Eileen pointed out that she had played Bernard's wife in a previous flashback.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Because in season 1, he thought he was married.
Yeah. Arnold's, I guess it would have been Arnold's wife, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit like who was it that they put in old man makeup for Prometheus to absolutely no benefit at all? The dude who created the androids. I forget the guy's name. Somebody's
Guy Pierce?
Yes, that's that Dingo. Dingo. Dingo.
Ding.
Dingo. 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 Got that right. That's not a dingo. This is a dingo.
Oh man.
Is that the wrong reference? I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Hey, I got to call Spectrum, guys. This okay. sucks.
Hey, what are you going to call them?
Great show. What do we call them?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you to the patrons. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, patrons.
All right. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.